Welcome to Sporadic Phantoms. My name is Robin.
And I'm Stevie.
We'd like to think of this investigation as a public service.
And despite the increased dangers, we're still dedicated to providing it to you.
In our last episode, we were prepared to welcome Kyle's parents to our studio, but they ran into some delays on the way.
We're on the 101, but there's an accident or construction up ahead or something. We're stuck in traffic. We'll have to be late.
While we waited for them, we listened to some voicemails we received from our listeners.
People just don't get that Share the Truth are really dangerous.
But Sporadic Phantoms might be our only hope.
But the longer we waited, the more concerned we got about Faith and Bob running behind. And they had stopped responding to our calls and texts. Faith doesn't appear to be responsive anymore.
Well, neither is Bob.
Then something's happening.
Finally, we got a call from Faith. But it was clear that something had gone really wrong.
Faith?
We were just attacked. We scrambled to carjack us.
We had no idea what happened, but we knew that we had to do something. We found a way to get ourselves to the area on the 101 where Faith and Bob said they were.
Off-road vehicle? Right away, we saw the start of a huge traffic jam, but no sign of Kyle's parents.
This looks like a six-car pileup or something.
Faith? Bob?
But there was smoke rising in the distance. We followed the smoke signal, and when we got there, it was even more of a disaster.
You've got to be kidding me. What happened here? But along with police and EMTs on the scene, we saw that the veterinarian from the gardens, Dr. Michelle Green, was there too.
Hey, Dr. Green?
Hey, we're cordoning off this area.
Hold on a second, officer.
That's how we learned that all the destruction was caused by an elephant. Or at least that's what Dr. Green said.
That's what caused the jam in the first place. They're saying people stopped for an elephant in the middle of the road?
An elephant did this?
And we had some big realizations that maybe what we think we know about Share the Truth is only a tiny part of the picture. Dr. Green, do you think this could be connected with something bigger?
You mean like the kinds of things Kyle was talking about before?
And that Kyle and maybe even Dr. Green might be even more connected with Share the Truth than we thought. The way things were left off in our last episode was not ideal. Sometimes I don't realize the way I come across to people, even when I have the best intentions. And how my phone conversation had ended with Faith, well, I'll admit that it wasn't great. But I didn't want her to think that I didn't care about what they had just been through. So I wanted to extend an apology to Faith and Bob.
At my suggestion.
And explain that we don't mean to put any undue pressure on them to become involved in our investigation. So, a few hours after the road incident, since we had apparently decided against going to San Luis Obispo to speak with them in person that evening, I tried giving Faith a call. I ended up leaving a voicemail.
She was probably ignoring you.
Sure, but we needed closure. And I was telling you, Stevie, that visiting them in person that evening, after they had a moment to settle down, would have been the best move and possibly our only chance to actually get in touch with them anytime soon because, as we know, they were about to head out of town.
We also knew that Faith and Bob needed to follow up on their police report and that, for all we knew, the Share the Truth operatives who attacked them on the road could have even caught up with them again if they had gone straight back to their house. Because those guys are still unaccounted for.
Yeah, they got away. And the police have not caught them. They are still at large.
Especially with just the two of us, we couldn't risk getting caught in a dangerous situation that we weren't prepared for, or potentially put Faith and Bob more at risk.
So, we agreed to let them be for the night, with no guarantee that we would hear from them later, or ever.
The safest thing to do would be to not bother them and let them deal with law enforcement. They could have even crashed in a nearby hotel for the night if they were worried about being followed. and by extending a proper apology, there would be a chance we could find another time to connect with them.
And I kept telling you, Stevie, that it was very possibly now or never.
But we let them take their vacation. They sure needed it.
Assuming that's where they went.
If there was any chance at making amends, it would either happen after they came back or not. And that's something we would have to accept and change strategies if necessary.
The most important thing was their safety.
And after about a week, we did try to get in touch with them again.
I called Faith again.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
I tried calling Bob.
The mailbox is full and cannot accept any messages at this time. Goodbye.
Well, they said that they would be gone for just a week, right?
That's what Faith said.
It's definitely been over a week now.
If you want to go check up on them now, be my guest. But I have a feeling that we're going to have to accept the consequences of our actions.
I mean, I just hope they're okay. The next day, I called again, but there was still no answer from either of them. We texted, even though that's not an ideal way to offer an apology per se, but they were left unread. Now, I've known Faith for years, and I know that she's not one to hold a grudge. So their unresponsiveness was starting to worry me. I needed to drive there myself and make sure that they were okay. But no one home. And yeah, no car in the driveway either. Maybe they extended their vacation. Or they could have been staying at a hotel, or with a friend or something. But this was not sitting right with me.
If we can't get in touch with them soon, we'll need to take it up with the police. Faith said they needed to deal with this whole situation. I assumed that meant they were going to the station. We can see if they ended up doing that.
Right after the incident happened, when she called me, she mentioned that Bob was on the phone with 911. So the cops would have arrived any minute. We know they responded to the incident. At the same time, she wanted to leave the area. But if they had just stayed put, then they could have spoken to the police right then and there. But they left. They should have stayed. So why?
They panicked.
Or why did they really feel that they had to leave? Did someone threaten them to not stick around for the cops to show up?
There are too many unknowns. But now that you mention it, that's one puzzle piece that doesn't quite fit.
We don't know if they went all the way back to San Luis Obispo to file the report or if they went to the station nearest to the incident, or what station, period.
If any at all.
We don't even know if they made it back home, much less if they made it to a police station or Lake Tahoe. Could they have been intercepted? Could they have been diverted?
Let's not jump to conclusions. But at the time of this episode's airing, we still have not heard anything from Faith and Bob Stevenson. All we want to do is make sure all is well, so if anyone has heard from them, please give us a call at 805-364-2251. And Faith or Bob, if you're listening to this, we don't know if you were told anything about us, maybe from someone you don't know, but there are a lot of wild things going around, and we would appreciate it if you could give us a chance to set the record straight. We know all of this might be overwhelming.
We're somewhat overwhelmed, too.
And we know that ultimately, we're all on the same page and want the same things here.
And if we don't hear from them? If no one can find them?
Well, let's just hope we can find them.
Or else, well, we'd need to take some action on that.
We've added some photos of them to our dossier, just in case. You can never be too careful.
Okay, let's get to some listener voicemails.
Hi, my name is John from Boston. Maybe this is nothing, but I would want someone to report it if it were me. I know you're looking for two young ladies. I saw on the news, you know, back when there was that tornado outbreak, there was a big accident on the highway, and I just noticed in the distance in the forest there was this young woman walking around, and she looked out of place. A blonde woman wearing a leotard, and I feel like no shoes. I don't know. Maybe it's totally unrelated. Thank you for what you're doing.
John from Boston, thanks for your call. However, you're right. What you're talking about is clearly totally unrelated to who we're looking for. First of all, that happened a while back, actually before the people we're looking for ever went missing. Secondly, it sounds like it's some woman doing outdoor yoga in the park. Thirdly, neither of the women we're looking for are blonde.
Maybe check the dossier next time so you know who we're actually looking for.
We're not going to play back all of these for you, but we've been getting some calls like this from listeners that are basically well-meaning, but we're not always seeing the relevance to the investigation.
Keep trying, though.
Hi, Sporadic Phantoms. I just listened to the new episode. I just wanted to say, Robin, it seems like things have been getting scarier and more dangerous. And it also seems that you've been taking more aggressive risks, just risky actions in general. And I know that it must be really hard to not know where Kyle is, to be worried about your friend. But please don't put yourself in danger. You were talking about parasocial relationships, but the whole episode was just really scary. But thank you for continuing the investigation nonetheless. And I fully support Sporadic Phantoms.
Dear caller, we can hear the true concern in your voice. It was definitely a risk we took last episode, going to rescue Faith and Bob. But nothing's going to get better if we sit back and do nothing.
And we wouldn't have learned what we did if we hadn't gone to the scene. Okay, let's consider what we learned from last episode. Share the Truth felt the need to try to abduct Kyle's parents in a chaotic and violent way. They are undoubtedly linked with Kyle. But you all know we've been trying to wrap our brains around what went wrong with Kyle and how he could have possibly become involved with them. Now that we know that Share the Truth is actually weaponizing animals, it's even more confounding. Kyle is someone who has strong convictions. He wouldn't easily compromise his ethics. And this stuff is totally, totally against Kyle's ethics.
There's no way that Kyle isn't being held against his will. How sadistic does Share the Truth have to be to force a vegan environmentalist to engage in flagrant acts of animal abuse? Against the guy's family, no less? It's truly cruel and unusual.
It's also leading us to rethink our analysis of the studio incident, though a lot of that live stream was still definitely made up.
We as audio editors can generally detect these things better than a layperson can.
The animal sounds, we have to consider the possibility that they could have been real animals after all. And of course, as environmentalists ourselves, it adds a whole new layer of concern for us.
When we first analyzed the sound file, we noticed what looked like clear indications of inserted audio clips. It had to do with the sound quality and the frequencies and other small inconsistencies in the file. However, now it seems like that was a false flag. Looking at it again, the audio was absolutely doctored, but not only in the ways that we thought. It was doctored in far more complicated ways, with inserted audio mixed with deepfakes and mixed with real audio that was distorted on a digital level. And if there were real animals let loose in the studio, it would better explain why it looked like such a disaster zone.
I mean, get a bunch of terrified wild animals, some of which are probably natural predators of each other, into a small room, make loud, sudden noises to work them into even more of a frenzy, and what do you think is going to happen?
And it might explain the blood. Or what looked like blood on the floor.
The blood that we assumed was fake because, very logically, we connected it with the style of protest Kyle was involved with in the past. And though it's starting to make more sense now, at the time, we would never have connected Kyle with putting animals in danger like that.
I'm not faulting us for coming to what were very rational conclusions at the time. At this point, it's too late to double check. In hindsight, maybe we could have gotten a better analysis of what was left at the scene, so that we would be able to tell if it belonged to animals.
Or humans.
Or if it was really just corn syrup after all.
But we didn't press charges. We didn't tell the police to do anything about it. Maybe that was a mistake.
It was complicated. Getting Kyle in trouble would have caused even more problems. Even though his actions really hurt us, the podcast, and the investigation, he's not the kind of person who would be suddenly gung-ho about Share the Truth's animal violence.
Yeah, a change in character would be very strange and suspicious.
For Kyle.
We've never found easy answers for why Kyle got involved with them.
But who knows? It might just be that Share the Truth finds the most unlikely people to conspire with or bring into their fold. That really seems to be what's happening here.
Unless those people aren't really who they say they are, maybe Share the Truth seeks out the people who can just cover up their true intentions the best. The only way we can know is if we investigate the right people and the right places. And we do have a major lead to investigate. Let's not minimize the magnitude of what happened in our last episode and what we discovered. Share the Truth uses animals in their attacks. And there's one common denominator in practically all those attacks that we know of, Dr. Green.
Now, whether that means she's complicit, we don't know. That's not what we're assuming at all.
But considering she's the one person with the most knowledge about and access to animals in the area, it would be foolish to discount her as a person of interest.
She and her husband have access to a wide variety of animals on a daily basis. The more we learn about Dr. Green, the better.
There are several possibilities. One, Share the Truth could be exploiting a security loophole to secretly gain access to the animals under her care.
Two, Share the Truth could be blackmailing Dr. Green in order to do the same.
And three, Dr. Green, or someone she's close with, could be colluding with or even be a part of Share the Truth.
Consider the fact that Kyle was the one who suggested interviewing Dr. Green in the first place. We didn't consider any connection between Dr. Green and Share the Truth at the time, but there very well could have been something we missed. Is there some other reason why Kyle was interested in speaking with her?
Of course, it's also possible that we find absolutely no connection. But we can't ignore these circumstances. I knew right away from our encounter on the highway that we needed to seize the opportunity to look into the Green Wildlife Rehabilitation Clinic. We've been to the gardens before, where Dr. Green works. Though we haven't investigated it per se, we've never seriously considered her husband's clinic. Security at the garden seems to be well fortified. They have security guards and surveillance cameras, state-of-the-art animal enclosures. Not that there can't be a loophole somewhere or someone on the inside working with Share the Truth, but the Green Wildlife Rehabilitation Clinic is another story. From what we learned online, it's way out on the very outskirts of town. Not a place that gets too many visitors from the public. It's not a very large operation. What would the security be like there?
If it's the site of Share the Truth activity, it could make sense for it to be a little remote. Or it could just be an easy target.
It would be helpful to rule out the possibility that the clinic has any Share the Truth connections. If Dr. Green is being exploited, we want to be helpful. And if we find something's amiss, we want to take the right action.
So we're just going to show up.
I figured this would be up your alley, expanding our field of play and all.
It is a good idea. Isn't it a little late?
Yeah, exactly. So they shouldn't be too busy with patients.
And we need to have a backup plan if things don't go well.
I'm not expecting us to run into a situation because we're not acting so risky. And we aren't instigating anything. We don't want things to end up like they did last time. Last time, we could have gotten seriously hurt or killed. Those guys could have attacked again.
So how do you propose we go about it this time?
This is all investigation, not a rescue mission. It'll be real casual. We're not going in guns a-blazing.
Metaphorically.
I have a sense of what to look for. Just follow my lead this time. We'll check out the clinic right after these messages.
My name is William Roger Tennant. You probably know me best as the host of the beloved and award-winning self-help podcast, Contact Point. On Contact Point, I've helped thousands of incredible people, each with a unique story to tell. And if there's one thing I've learned on my journey, it's that there isn't a single one of us who hasn't made a mistake. Including me. You may have heard from the media circus and cancel culture of an incident involving myself and a small, fluffy dog. I'm not denying that my temper may have gotten the best of me there, but I understand the importance of repairing harm, and I've offered a sincere public apology. I hope you take a listen. I know there's nothing I can do that will make my actions okay for those they were not okay with. I've been through many ups and downs in my life, and this is one of them. I support animal welfare. I have done this historically in my work and will continue to do so in the future. And my intentions have never been in a place to upset or hurt anyone, including our furry friends. That's just not who I am, but I'm sorry if that has taken place. I've spent tireless hours reflecting on my actions. Today, I stand before you as a transformed man. I've gone through the fire of forgiveness, risen from the ashes, and I'm ready to share the wisdom I've learned along the way. That's why I'm announcing my brand new Path to Redemption program. The Path to Redemption program is designed to help you heal, not just your own wounds, but to cultivate a deeper empathy for all living things. And to share my profound techniques, I'm ready to hit the road once again for my 2024 Path to Redemption tour. Don't miss this life-changing experience. And for the first time, I'm also offering my brand new Path to Redemption companion workbook, available wherever books are sold. To express my heartfelt remorse, a very small portion of the proceeds from my programs will be donated to animal welfare organizations. So consider this your wake-up call. I know I've heard mine. The Path to Redemption is a road I've walked with humility and grace. I can't wait to share what I've learned with you. See you on the journey.
We showed up at the clinic on a Thursday evening. It really was out there. It was located down a long dirt driveway, almost a road itself, right at the edge of the woods. And when we got there, we realized this place wasn't a typical vet's office. It was a farm. Though it was getting dark, we could tell there were fenced pastures and stables and an old farmhouse that loomed in the dark. But the most noticeable structure was the large red barn right next to the house. This place really looked like it was a legitimate operating farm. Very quaint. Probably pretty adorable in the daytime. But in the evening, it had a mysterious quality.
Is it closed? Is anyone here?
We're going to find out.
Hey, watch out. I think there's someone coming down the road. Can you see who it is?
They've stopped, but it's too dark. If he walks into the headlights, maybe.
Well, don't run him over.
I'm trying to get a better look.
Well, now he's gone way out along the fence and we can't get a good look at him at all.
Well, I didn't mean to scare him.
Except that he's wearing bike shorts.
Hey, sorry to bother you. Do you work here?
Nope, just dropped off my squirrel. About time that old girl got spayed.
Are you good walking in the dark like that?
I'm good. I'd love to chat, but I gotta run before my Uber drives off.
Okay.
See? People bring animals here all the time. It's not too late to stop by. Clearly they're still open.
So it is open, right?
Oh yeah, the lights are on in there. Okay, so we have a few objectives here. Assess the security situation, look for loopholes.
Look for weapons.
It's a farm, Robin. They probably have a rifle or two lying around.
Look for out-of-place weapons.
Look for any signs of animals that seem like they don't belong. See what the day-to-day operations are like. See who has access to the clinic. So, let's just go in. Immediately, the smell of hay and animal musk hit us. Not pleasant. There was a rustling of cages and little sounds of animals. To the right were some stalls for who knows what, and a door that might have led to another part of the clinic. Rows of cages everywhere. Hay bales. This was clearly where the animals were kept. Not exactly a vet's office. Sure, we weren't coming in through the main entrance. Sure, we didn't make an appointment, but it didn't really matter. We needed answers. We needed...
Hello?
Hi?
Dr. Green, is that you?
It wasn't. Coming around a stack of cages was a teenage girl. She looked... well, she looked a lot like Dr. Green, just shorter. Her short braids were swept back by a bandana. She wore work overalls and dirty boots covered in... I didn't want to know what. She certainly fit in with the atmosphere.
No, and the clinic is closed for the evening, sorry.
Oh, but we just ran into someone who said he just dropped off a squirrel here. We thought it was okay to come in.
He was a little strange, like walking down the road in the dark.
Oh, yeah, last patient of the day.
Who was that guy? Does he come around here often?
No, that was just a client with a squirrel.
Oh, do you happen to know his name?
Michael.
Jesus.
If you really need to know.
How could we miss that to the left, behind another row of animal cages, there were a couple other teenagers lounging on some hay bales. A blonde girl with a notebook open. Other papers in what looked like a couple of math textbooks were resting on a nearby bale. A large brown-haired kid sitting and looking at his phone. Where is that little guy, by the way?
Who? Michael?
The squirrel.
Oh, he's over here. See?
Oh, cute.
Why are you asking so many questions, by the way?
Sorry, we're journalists. We're just here to check out the clinic and, yeah, ask a few questions.
Maybe you've heard that there have been some incidents around Santa Barbara. Violent incidents with animals.
We just want to make sure all the animals are safe here and that everything's okay.
We're environmentalists. We love animals.
You work here, right? You haven't seen anything strange around the clinic, have you?
No, I don't think so.
Anyone strange coming in here? Any signs of break-ins? Cages left open?
Well, I'm not an employee. This is my dad's clinic, and everything's been normal.
Oh. Who are they?
My friends.
What are you all up to, if you don't mind me asking?
Homework? Because the clinic is supposed to be closed?
Hey, I think I recognize you.
Me?
Sorry, no. Him.
Hmm? What about me?
You're Tom Berenson's brother, right?
Yeah.
How come I haven't seen you around the sharing, then? I would have thought he'd get you to join.
I have too many extracurriculars already.
Well, you're missing out.
Bet.
Well, you wouldn't mind if we took a quick look around, would you?
Yeah, you can look around here, but please don't touch the cages. Some of the animals might bite.
We'll be careful.
What was that?
There's something in the stall.
You keep larger animals in here too?
Sure we do.
What is that? Is that a deer or...
It's...
Oh. It is a deer. Are these the kind of animals Share the Truth would be interested in?
It doesn't matter if they're sick or injured. They can still use them.
Ah, right.
The question is, are any of them not sick or injured?
Right, because if there are any that seem out of place, it could mean maybe the clinic is keeping some animals for non-medical reasons.
Yeah, but it's kind of impossible to tell, at least right now. Okay, so we're also wondering if we can speak with Dr. Green, perhaps?
Oh, I can answer any of your questions, actually. Dad.
Hey, Cass. I heard some commotion. What are y'all doing in here? Oh, I'm sorry. We open back up at 8 a.m. tomorrow. Or do you have an emergency?
They said they're journalists.
Journalists? Well, in that case, if they need to talk with someone, then they can talk with me instead of my 15-year-old daughter. So how can I help you?
Hi, I'm Stevie Fortin, and this is Robin Case.
I'm Dr. Green.
Okay, that's a little confusing.
Sorry, we're just used to referring to your wife as Dr. Green. We've spoken with her a bit for our investigation.
Call me Walter.
Okay, Walter. So, we are just stopping by as part of an investigation into a criminal organization. Maybe you can help? I'm sure you must have heard about the strange incidents involving animals around the city, like the traffic jam caused by a loose elephant a few weeks ago.
Or a while back, I don't know if you heard about a tiger that was set loose in the Center Valley Mall after hours.
Heard about them? My wife's been talking my ear off about these things.
Well, they aren't isolated incidents, and they aren't coincidences. They've been going on for the past couple of years, and they're all connected.
There's an organization called Share the Truth that seems to be setting animals loose to cause distractions while they commit crimes. This is a very serious problem in the community. People are getting hurt, and we just want to get to the bottom of it.
That is very unusual. Sounds like something out of a comic book.
Yeah, or like a Marvel movie spinoff or something.
We can assure you it's really happening.
Ah, and so you came here. So what are you implying?
Implying? We want to make sure that the animals here are secure. You keep track of who has access to them, right?
Of course. That would be me and my daughter. So if you're looking for criminals here, you're out of luck.
Oh, we're not. With all due respect, we just want to find out if there's someone who might be accessing the animals here without your knowledge, or if there's a possibility of a security breach. This organization is targeting people and businesses in Santa Barbara, and we know that this clinic might be one of the few places they want to try to steal from.
Or collude with.
Because of the animals we keep here.
That's why we're here. We want to help.
So if we can just ask a couple of questions about the clinic, we would be grateful for your help.
Okay. We haven't seen anything out of the ordinary here.
You said you and your daughter have access to the animals, right? And theoretically, your wife does as well.
Right. We're not exactly a large operation.
How about cleaners or other vet techs that might come in? Is there anyone else who could possibly have access to this barn?
Really, the only people who would touch these animals would be myself, Cassie here, or the people who bring them in. These are people from all over the area, and I mean, they're not accessing the clinic or the barn when we're not here. I think we would know if that happened.
Anyone can come here, then?
Technically, yes. It's open to the public. I suppose anyone could stop by.
That narrows it down.
Do you get delivery people?
Sure, we get deliveries.
And they would come in here then?
Sometimes, sure. But they don't come in here to mess with the animals.
Walter, have you ever cared for wolves at the clinic?
Not at the moment. But we take all sorts here.
I just ask because it's a kind of animal that this organization may use to instill fear in their victims.
Well, I can tell you that no animal here has been used because none of them have ever gone missing.
That you know of.
Even if they don't appear to have gone missing, there still could be something you've been missing. Would you mind showing us the other side of the clinic?
You know what? Sure, why not?
Can I come with you? This is just very interesting.
Sure, Cass. It's just through here. We've got the operating room here. Storage. Office. And the entrance area.
That's it?
Robin, I'm not seeing much here.
Nothing fancy, but we do lock it up at night.
Walter? Cassie? What's going on?
Dr. Green, hi.
Oh, hello. Walter, is now really the time for this?
Michelle, they're investigating a crime.
I think I know why they're here.
Only because of the heightened danger in Santa Barbara and all these animal incidents, which we know you have firsthand knowledge of, Dr. Green.
I don't think anyone's been trying to break in, but I understand the concern. There's some weird anti-animal group out there.
Thank you for the tour, Walter.
Would you mind showing us the stables outside, near the field?
Robin, I'm going to be honest with you. We appreciate your concern. We know you're trying to do something to help Santa Barbara. But we're not about to give you a full tour of the farm right now.
Why is that?
I'm just wondering why you chose to come here now, without giving us a heads up.
We thought the clinic wouldn't be too busy with patients. And it is open to the public, right?
It is. But typically people do make appointments first.
No matter if they're coming here with an injured animal or not.
Oh, our apologies.
Is there a reason why you need to cut our conversation short? We've not been here for 2 hours.
It's late. It's after dinner time. I would have appreciated advance notice that you were going to show up.
Then we won't take up too much more of your time. But I think it's important to ask before we head out, do you have any security cameras here?
We do.
You do?
Not here, but in the barn, sure.
Ah, so what kind of cameras are they?
Just a basic motion-activated camera.
Wired or wireless?
The barn has Wi-Fi?
Yeah, the camera's connected to Wi-Fi.
So it uploads video to the cloud?
Is it recording 24/7?
I can see what it's seeing from my phone, but I get notifications on my phone when it detects motion.
That's interesting. See, here's the thing about wireless cameras. If there's a disruption in the Wi-Fi connection, you're left with an unreliable camera. It won't record. It won't be able to upload anything. But by analyzing a sample of the captured footage, generally you'd be able to tell if the camera and the connection are reliable.
Technically, a hacker could be able to shut down the Wi-Fi and get into the barn, and you'd never know. And if the connection is unreliable or spotty, that could be exploited by someone.
They'd want to hack the barn.
That's just how Share the Truth operates.
But we can at least test some video footage to see if it demonstrates a regular Wi-Fi connection, or even if it's being tampered with. We can check for distortions, glitches, or stuttering. We just need some video samples. Maybe whatever video was captured from the last couple hours at least?
Oh no.
No? Why not, Cass?
Because it's, embarrassing.
Embarrassing? Why? What are you kids up to in there?
I'm sure we can handle it, whatever it is. We were teenagers too once.
Cass, it's just for them to see if there's any problem with the connection. They're not gonna care about what you were doing in the barn.
It's just for safety. That's okay, right?
Yeah, sure. I guess that's okay then.
Thanks. Don't worry. It's in good hands.
The past 3 hours might be sufficient to analyze.
Yeah, I think that could work perfectly.
Though we could use more, too, if you have it.
He can send you some files that you can look at later. Because we're all going to turn in for the night. Cassie, you too.
But...
I'll turn in too. Let me just get your email so I can send you the files.
Great. You can just upload to our Google Drive. Here, let me give you access. Just send it all over now. Yeah?
Uploading.
So we'll just take a look at the footage at home and we can continue with this later. Obviously, it's difficult to get a full picture of what could be going on from just one short visit.
Alrighty then. Let's go, Cassie. Why don't you go tell your friends it's time to go home?
Okay, Dad.
Thank you all. Good night, Walter. Cassie. Dr. Green.
Robin, hold on. Let me talk to you for a moment.
I'll see you out.
Sure.
Walter, we're talking when I get inside. Before you go, I just want to understand. What are you ultimately planning on doing with the information you find?
If we find evidence of an intruder or of interference, then we'll take it to the authorities, and they can reopen their investigation into Share the Truth. We can finally stop these attacks, and we can make your job easier.
Okay. Because if my family gets implicated in something because of your quote-unquote journalism, we're going to have a problem.
We're testing for a problem with your security camera, Michelle.
I wasn't born yesterday, Robin. But maybe you really don't understand how what you're doing could affect me and my family.
Considering that Stevie and I were able to walk right into the barn just now without issue, with unsupervised children there, we believe we might be onto something. But it's absolutely not our intention to portray your family in a false or misleading manner. We truly are here to help. I hope you don't think we're coming here with any malintent.
The impact is what matters? Look, before you do anything, we need to know what conclusions you come to, if any.
Of course. We'll come back and check in with you, absolutely. Before we do anything, we'll be back for sure. We're all about transparency.
That concludes Sporadic Phantoms Episode 14, The Proximity, Part 1. Tune in next month for Episode 15.
Which, as you can imagine, will be The Proximity, Part 2.
In that episode, we'll analyze the video footage we obtained from the clinic.
Was there any Share the Truth activity at the clinic that we weren't able to see?
Could the truth reveal itself to us?
Special thanks to... K.A. Applegate, Julie Becker, Aaron Culpepper, Phaedra Eason, Betsy Gagne, Walter Mack, Sean Manna, Richard N., Abby Savoy, and Neil Strotter. And I'd like to take the time to thank all the anonymous folks who have purchased our merch on Redbubble, especially since our last episode. Thanks to you, you're helping us spread the word about the sharing and the occasional dangers of certain types of oatmeal.
If you'd like to support our investigation, visit our Patreon or our Ko-fi page, or check out our merch on Redbubble. And of course, if you have any information that you think may be helpful to us, call the Sporadic Phantoms Missing Persons Hotline at 805-364-2251. Or email us at sporadicphantoms@gmail.com. If you'd like to engage with us and other listeners, you can tweet at us or join our Discord server. All these links and recent updates to the Sporadic Phantoms dossier can be found on our website, sporadicphantoms.com.
It's easy to see how the clinic could be an easy target for Share the Truth. I can't help but wonder if something's up. Or something's being covered up. Even if the Greens might not know it. So, is it just me? Or am I getting the sense that we're going to see something unexpected when we play back this footage they gave us? I do know that once we look at these videos, we'll be taking the appropriate actions based on what we find. Whatever we find out, we'll address it immediately. And I suppose, besides Michelle, you'll be the first to know. So keep listening. Yeah, even you.